2 Timothy 3:16 reads as follows. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by His inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error, and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, which is in holy living in conformity to God's will, in thought, in purpose, and in action. Controlling your body, God and the family. I didn't know which one to do. Controlling your body, or God and the family. So I mixed them. I'll start with 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. You're bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. The Bible does not speak directly about such things as smoking or marijuana or downing dry martinis, extra dry, shaken and not stirred. However, many of the things which we do today do affect our bodies. And in turn, it bears directly on our spirituality and on our fellowship with other believers. Therefore, we need a guiding principle to help us steer a straight course through the many decisions that we all face every day, one after the other, after the other, after the other. Let's emphasize this morning, though, the positive rather than the negative. And the question is not how much can I do and still be a Christian, but how much and how clearly can I glorify the Savior? Paul said that whatever we do is to be done for Him and not for ourselves. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 and verse 23, let me read it to you. And whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence upon His person, giving praise to God the Father through Him. Whatever may be your task, work at it heartily from the soul as something done for the Lord and not for men. The Christian life is a commitment of love between you and the Savior. And if your heart is truly His, you will want Him to control all of your life, not just what's easy to give to Him. Remember that you, me, we express our faith in Christ through our body. The Bible says, let your conversation be holy. The word conversation is not what you say. It's your actions, how you live. Conversation, the translation in the Greek, is behavior. And that made sense to me when I saw it, because actions do speak louder than words. Remember that you express your faith in Christ through your body. Some people will learn of Jesus only through what they see and observe in you. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, separateness without which no man shall see the Lord. So it's important to ask yourself, what will my actions do to my effectiveness as a caring Christian? How will my actions affect my friends who are watching to see whether Christ lives in me or not? Long ago, considered to be a wise member of the church, Jerome, he said, don't let your deeds belie your words, lest when you speak in church, somebody might say to themselves, why don't they practice what they preach? And think about this. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that once you become a believer, your body becomes the temple, the very sanctuary and dwelling place of the Holy Spirit? God is a spirit who resides within you, whom you have received the Holy Spirit says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift. Can't hit him over the head, drag him from him. It's a gift that he gives his believers. So, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God. You are not your own. That's an idea contrary to all of our natural instincts. And to that chant that you hear, you can't tell me what to do with my body. So I'm going to kill this other little body in my body, because you can't. And that's true. That's true. We all stand accountable for the decisions that we make. Not so for believers. The bodies that we live in are exclusively our own, they said. And what we do is our own business, but not for believers. Our bodies belong to Jesus Christ. And what we do with them is God's business. Exodus 20 and 12 says, concerning God and the family, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In that verse, there are these essential ingredients: a place to live and a God on whose sovereignty our living all depends. Sovereignty. We talked about God being sovereign. That means supreme power, authority, influence, control, rule, power. God is sovereign. And the word honor means respect, reverence, esteem, obedience. And all of those concepts are found in Scripture. We're talking about as an adult, and some young people think it's just for old people and just for seniors and just for the church folks. But it says in the Scriptures, and Paul says, to obey your parents and the Lord, that this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. Ephesians 6, verse 1 to 3 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord as his representatives, for this is just and right. Honor, esteem, and value as precious your father and your mother, because it's the first commandment with a promise, which is found in the Ten Commandments. Why? That all may be well with you, young folks, and that you may live long upon the earth. That's a promise God made to children. You know, under Mosaic law, the son or the daughter who mocked their parents, who scorned their parents, who cursed his or her parents, was in danger of being put to death. You know, one of the marks of a decaying nation is the deauthorization of man and woman who were previously held in high esteem. Governmental, community leaders, teachers, the clergy, and parents were held in high esteem. Let me read this. I don't know which one of these to do first. Totalitarian countries versus the Word of God. This just came out. USA. Listen to this. The family is a crucial social unit where individuals form their identity and learn values and cultural practices and life skills. This is where children receive their first education and emotional and economic support. The family is the foundation unit of many societies, which is meant to provide unconditional love and comfort with ties believed to last forever. However, as societies develop, social structures are often questioned. And those who find that the family has not served as a place of comfort are taking steps to distance themselves from those traditional bonds. One study on parent-adult-child estrangement, published in the Journal of Marriage and Family, showed that 26% of the young adults subjects interviewed were estranged or separated from their fathers. while 6% had cut off relationships with their mothers. According to a book by sociologist Carl Filmer titled Fault Lines, Fractured Families and How to Mend Them, 27% of Americans who were 18 years of age and above had cut off relationships with a member of their family. The author explained that even though relationships may become estranged, it can still be a difficult situation for those involved. And then it asked the question in this article, why are so many young people cutting off their marriages? Ohio State University sociology professor Ren Rizek, who led the research on parent-adult-child estrangement, believes that the rift between family members could stem from a desire to have a healthy relationship. If a parent is not accepting of their child's sexuality, for instance, separation can be healing for those who are learning to accept themselves. There might be some cultural shifts around people being allowed to choose who is in your family. And that can include not choosing to have the person who raised you be in your family. Nowadays, people are more willing to end relationships, even with family members, if they are deemed to be unhealthy. He found that the breaking of familial bonds can stem from various factors, such as harsh parenting, favoritism, differences in values, problems with in-laws, and disagreements over money. According to the study, cutting off blood relations can have possible negative effects on all parties involved. Given how many people report estrangement from their parents, such estrangement may lower the well-being and life chances of both generations as they age due to the stress of an estranged tie. But he didn't leave it there. He said, on the other hand, being separated can benefit the person who initiated the separation, the child, by eliminating the source of chronic stress. And I can go on. Totalitarian countries. That's a system of government that is controlled by only one political party. And dictatorial. Is stay away or else, you know, and requires complete subservience, total obedience to the state which they control. Often referred to as authoritarian or fascist, headed by a tyrant or a dictator. These countries throughout history have something in common. They always deliberately train their youth to give their allegiance to the state. The youth to give their allegiance to the government, not to their parents. And it is the present trend that we see now going in what we call the free world or Western civilization, where the family is breaking up, children deliberately scorn and disobey their parents, which deeply concerns thoughtful people, not just Christians, but non-Christians alike. This morning, I encourage you, praying families reinforced by wholesome discipline and obedience are the backbone of a strong nation. But strong nation or not, children who respect their parents is God's design, is God's standard. I say to young people, certainly your parents are not always right. Surely they have their faults. But remember that you are to respect them. You are to honor them, and God will keep his end of the promise if you keep your end. The family is under attack. Marriage is under attack. For this cause, says the Bible, shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife, and that every woman should have her own husband and reverence him, and he is supposed to treat her as Christ loves the church, which means he died for the church. Regardless of what the world is saying to us today as believers, we've got to accept the Word of God as our guide. You know, I was on the radio one time and I was talking about spanking a kid. Although when we was little, we didn't get spanked, we got beaten. And he said, we got spanked, we got spanked. No, I'm gonna give you a beating when your father comes. So, yeah, okay. But it says, spare not the rod, and let not thy soul despair for their crying, for if you beat them with the rod, they shall not die. And this lady was telling me, oh, that means counseling and time out. And I told her, look at this Hebrew word. It means a strip of wood such as bamboo used for striking. It means it's a time to pop their behind. And when they cry, don't despair. For if you beat them, if you discipline them. My parents used to tell us, I'm going to get you straight in here. Because if not, the world will get you straight. If those lessons are being lost. Train up a child in the way they should go. It even says in the Bible, don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't be plucking them and prodding them and doing things that you know with. But God covers it all. Amen? Mother, father, relationship, family, home, church, brethren, it covers it all. And I say that if we keep our end of the promise and raise our kids like God says raise them and have the kids obey and respect as God requires that, he will keep his end of the bargain. Amen. That long life and peace shall he add unto you. That he'll protect you. That he'll be there for you. And not to let the enemy, this world, destroy the institution. God says that you and I, male and female, created he them. I don't care what these stupid people are saying. And they are stupid. The Bible calls it philosophical psychobabble. If you translate the Greek word, there's no way that this thief can come, steal, kill, and destroy your family if you're in God. I hate to be doing it all over the place, but not yours. And one of the problems with our young people is that they say, you won't let me do nothing. You won't let me go nowhere. You won't let me. You got me hedged in. Now, where did we hear that before? My man Job. Job said, I'm hedged in. All this stuff is happening to me, and I'm hedged in. But he didn't know Satan was on the other side of the hedge saying, I can't get to him because you got him hedged. You got protection around him. And that protection around our children, they might rebel against you. But remember what the scripture said, I don't know what other people might do, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I say to you this morning, you've got a challenge between the flesh and the spirit, between the world and its dictatorships and its anti-Christian and its secular humanism and its atheism, are between the Word of God, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. I'll close with Romans chapter 8. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, kill the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. And being sons and daughters of God, obey our parents in the Lord, for this is right. To God be the glory for all the things he hath done in our lives. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The Bible says, what can separate us from the love of God? And the promise is to you and to your children, and to your children's children, and as many as are far off. I trust God to save my family. But only as I live can they see God in me. And when they go to the left, right, they'll go on the left. When they swing back over to the right, they're over to the right. But when they come back to the center, they find me, the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
Let us stand.